So I want to ask you about this strategy and myelofibrosis, but you were talking about MDS, and just kind of curious where things stand in terms of looking at venetoclax in MDS.
Right. So like venetoclax was recently approved for patients with AML in combination with hypomethylating agents. Really remarkable responses had been reported, where almost 60% of the patients will achieve a CRI. Almost one third of those patients will have no evidence of minimal residual disease. So the next step is moving this to the higher risk patients with MDS in combination with hypomethylating agents. So there are ongoing trials where patients are randomized between azacitidine or decitabine plus minus venetoclax. I would assume that we would see similar results to the AML because the biology of the disease in the higher risk MDS patients is similar to AML. In the lower risk MDS, I don't think there had been much role for the venetoclax. Single agent or in the setting of after HMA failure, it doesn't seem that the agent by itself has much activity. There is a second generation venetoclax called navitoclax that's actually in clinical trials in myelofibrosis patients. The drug has thrombocytopenia effect, so it's a little bit more difficult to use it in MDS, but there are ongoing studies in patients with myelofibrosis in combination with ruxolitinib.
That's interesting. Just out of curiosity, is venetoclax / hypomethylating agent generally your first line therapy for older patients nowadays?
It's almost becoming the standard, absolutely. So for patients that are not eligible for intensive chemotherapy, those that don't have a good risk AML, our default was hypomethylating agents. And I think with those results, we've moved on almost to most of those patients being treated with hypomethylating agents plus venetoclax.
And I don't know. I mean, I assume that venetoclax doesn't have any effect in terms of cytokines.
Not on the cytokines. Obviously, it targets the BCL2 receptor, so I'm not aware that it targets the cytokines.
Right.